Everybody, hey, happy Monday to everybody. What's up? We're gonna be talking Happily Ever After. We're a day late. Didi, who is one of my co-hosts, is actually out of town. I'm not 100% sure if I'm supposed to tell y'all what she's doing, so I'm not. But she won't be back for a couple of weeks, so yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Tell me if I should share it with everybody. So, hi, Dana. Hi, Portuguese Princess. Kara's going to be here with us. But, you know, I have my dream team, and anytime that I don't have us all together, it sucks. So, hi.
How are you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything going in the heat?
It's good. It's good. Yeah, it's very, very hot, but yeah. It's good.
Good.
Didi's out of town, as you know what's going on, yep. Right? Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to say what she's doing, so I'll wait for her to get back and tell everybody. It's good though, guys. It's nothing bad. She's doing something amazing. So, but I don't want to be I don't know if it's my place. So we're gonna jump into this Happily Ever After episode because there's a lot going on, right? I feel like Didi's business is a business, right? Yeah. I feel like it's not my place. So when she comes back, if she wants to tell you what she's doing, I'm excited for her and I would love that. But I want to jump into episode 12, right? I think we have two more episodes before the finale because on the 1st of July, we're getting The Other Way.
Yep.
So I think we got two more episodes and then two tell-alls, and then we're going to be ready for The Other Way. So we got a little bit of Angela. We got a little bit of Patrick, Thais, and John. John and Thais are the duo that we didn't know we needed, but we love, right? Like, I'm super excited to see them joining forces against Jose. Jose is like my worst enemy. Like, we're going to get into that. And we have some serious stuff with Lauren and Alexi. Alexi is, we're seeing firsthand when this war started, because, you know, we know exactly what we were doing when we heard when this was going on. But it really hits home, you know, when we're in this country and we see these terrible things happen, we kind of get numb. So it's really crazy when we're watching somebody who's literally living through that, because this is his life, his family, everything that he knows is there in Israel. And all he really wants to do, and his dad as well, is just to go back home and help, because everyone knows Alexi worked in the armed forces. So when it comes to fighting for his country, it's personal. It's personal for him. So it's difficult for him to sit back in a safe place and watch his family, friends, his livelihood, his culture, his world be threatened, you know, by such senseless violence. And it really brings you back to earth, because, you know, we watch this show, we want to be entertained, we want to have fun, we want to laugh, we want to make fun of people, but every now and then something real happens and it kind of hits home and we realize again, hey, these are real people.
Yeah.
These are real lives, real situations that people are going through. And it kind of makes you a little more humble, you know, a little more respectful of what we have, because there are people who are going through such serious things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it breaks my heart just watching him and the emotion and talking to his mom and then his dad. I mean, how scary to even try to fly back. Like,
well, right. His dad was like, if planes are even flying, and I'm thinking like, and even if they were, would you want to be on it?
Right.
You know, because there's missiles in the air. Like, it's unfathomable, right? Like, we are so spoiled. We complain about everything. We complain about gas. We complain about politics. We complain about laws. We complain about the president. We have it so good, right? And it's like there are people who are just wanting basic safety.
Yep.
You know, the basic right to get on an airplane and fly to see their family. They don't even have that.
Yeah.
You know, so it really humbles us a lot. You know, it makes me realize that we shouldn't be complaining about every single thing, right? Like, we hate the weather, we hate politics, we hate gas prices, we hate inflation, and all of those are horrible, but it ain't nothing compared to what people are literally living on a daily basis. So yeah, I wanted to get the serious part in there first, because it really did bring it home for me. I was like, yeah, we make fun of people, we post memes, this is real, and I'm just hoping that Alexi's family, Lauren and Alexi's family, are okay, you know? And I think something was brought up on Twitter, because I think Misha and the guy she's with, he's somewhere where there's a lot of war going on too. And I was like, man, it's crazy how this is it's hitting home in multiple different places. Hey, Jacqueline.
Misha and Nicole is still together?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they are. And actually, they're going to be coming back on something.
Of course.
So I kind of think it's the other way. I don't have, like, verification. But you know how when they announce couples on a new season, there's usually one or two couples they don't announce right away. They kind of wait for a bombshell breakthrough of, oh, this is, I have a feeling that it's going to be, well, no, I'm sorry, not the other way, but they're going to be on Happily Ever After.
I got you.
But this,
yeah,
not
we
this
have,
season.
We've got the list of who's going to be on The Other Way.
Oh, well, you know, Statler is back with Dempsey, and Shekinah and Sarper are back, and then we have all new people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm excited for the new people. I don't want to get too much into that, but how do you feel about seeing Sarper and Shekinah and Statler and Dempsey again?
Statler and Dempsey, they weren't bad. They were entertaining, but Sarper and Shekinah, I'm so over it.
So he's still controlling her. Like, I don't want to get too off topic, but like he was saying he was designing her nose, right? Because she wanted the new nose, and he's like, well, if I have to look at your nose, I should be the one to design it. And he just, you know how somebody gets underneath your skin? He knows how to get underneath my skin. Everything he does just pisses me off.
Yeah, me
too. I'm not a violent person, but I feel like I would like to punch him.
Yeah.
I won't, but like...
I would like to punch him.
Right? Like, he just makes me angry. And it's hard because I know she kind of, you know, this feels a void in her life. She enjoys being controlled. She enjoys the domination from a man. And I totally get that. And I don't want to take away what makes her happy. But I also think that women have the right to be independent. And if she doesn't want to be independent, if she doesn't want to make her own decisions, I want to respect what she wants. I just, it pisses me off though, right?
You want to know what would fill that void is go be a mom to your child.
That could help, right?
Yeah.
You know, like her daughter is definitely needing a mom. She's still a child. Everybody's in, I hate to put it this way, but until you're like 30, you still need your mom.
Man, you know, my mom's been gone for a little over 7 years and I still need her. But when I was 15, I needed her the most.
Absolutely. And when it's those decisions that you're unsure about that you need the guidance. Because, you know, I have a lot of friends, we're getting off topic, but they told me how they didn't get along with their mothers when they were younger, but now that they're older, they're their best friend, and they understand why their mother was the way that they were. And it's just love. And I try to tell people that your mom loves you unconditionally, and sometimes her decisions don't feel like love because tough love hurts. Yeah. But your mom is actually always making the best decisions for you. You could be 50 years old. But your mom is still going to be standing up for you. We kind of saw that with... Claire with Sophie. She's like trying to explain to Sophie, like, you realize that this guy's a piece of garbage. You're not happy. And she's like, every time I see you, you're distressed and you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. But Sophie said something on this episode that caught my attention. She was like, well, if I end up not wanting to be with Rob, then I won't know what I want to do with my life. Will I have to leave? And I was like, see, I'm beginning to think that is her main issue. Yep. And Rob is kind of catching on. Rob is a little on the slower side, but he is catching on because he was like, maybe she is stringing me along just enough.
He's not so she can catch on. Tari put him on.
Right. He doesn't want to believe that she would use him, but he said things that I think when he was hearing himself talk, he could see. He's like, well, if she really wanted a green card, why would she pick a guy with no bathroom? I was like, why wouldn't she? You know, why wouldn't she? The expectations are low. She's, you know, you're shocked that she wants to be with you. So that's enough to keep her around. And it's like she's not living with you. She's always finding somewhere else to go. And then she comes back for a day or two. She made sure that her name made it on the lease. She did her due diligence, right? Like she knows that the rules of the paperwork side of it looks good. It looks like they're married. It looks like they're living together because on paper they do. Just because she's not there, her name is going to be on that lease until the duration when it expires. So if she wanted to bring a lease to court and show that she was living with him, she could. She's not, but she's doing her due diligence. She's making sure that she can do and stay in this country. And I'm beginning to think that that was her goal all along. I don't know. And also, I'm beginning to think that Claire is a drifter. Like, I don't know Claire, right? Like, I don't know her, right? But I'm beginning to think that she's like a drifter. Like, she's just been, like, drifting around countries for a while. Because she told us this story about her boyfriend, the one that we actually met last season on the show. And he's driving a car picking her up, and he gets into this horrible accident, and she says that he didn't pay $11 to get insurance. He hits four cars. Now she's stuck with, like, a broken leg. And I'm like, Claire, are you a drifter? I'm beginning to think that she's a drifter. Like, I don't know her story. I do know that she did suffer from addiction, and she did have some hard times, but she keeps telling us that it's way far back in her past. I'm not sure how far back we're talking. Yeah. Because every time I see and get to know her more, my eyebrow raises and I'm like, what's going on with you? Are you a drifter? Are you just like hopping from couch to couch? Like, I just don't know what's going on with her. And it's really making me see why Sophie is the way she is. Because, yeah, you know, the apple can't fall far from the tree. And I feel like the lack of mothering that she got from Claire, it shows why Sophie acts and behaves and does the things that she does. You know, I don't blame Sophie at all,
right,
you know, for the lack of the parenting or lack of mentorship that she received. You know, when your parent is addicted, you know, you don't get 100% of them. Sometimes you don't even get 10% of them. It just depends on how the situation plays out. But I'm beginning to see why Sophie is so desperate to get what she wants and to stick with it and to get this green card out of it. Because when she said, I don't know what I would do, I would have to leave. And I was like, well, that shouldn't be the first thing you think of when you think of working on your marriage, right? That should be number 12. You know, that should be like further down the list of all the things that you want to make work with the person that you claim you love. Not like, oh, well, if I leave him, I'm going to have to go back to London. And that's not what I want. Like, that's definitely not something that should have came out of her mouth. She tried to fix it. After she said it, she's like, well, among other things, you know, that's just one. And I was like, no, that's pretty much it. That's why you're sticking with it, because I can see that London is not where you want to end up.
Yeah, absolutely. And she'd have to leave Kay. That was, you know, her first concern.
Well, yeah. And I want to understand this relationship with Kay, because Sophie's from London, so she couldn't have known Kay longer than Rob, right? Like,
I don't know. She said, remember in the very beginning when they first introduced us to Sophie and Rob?
Yeah.
And they're walking in their downtown, and she said she had been online, the Meet a Friends thing. And
Bumble for Friends. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
maybe she didn't know her.
I think she's known her for a while, and that they've got this grandiosa plan.
It's just so weird that she trusts her enough that they moved to Austin and she's just ready to pack up and move in. Like, it makes me feel like this is not a new friendship. And I don't want to call it a friendship because we know what's going on.
Right.
We know what's going on between those two. She came out as bisexual and she's like, oh, I've never been with another woman. Yes, she has.
Yeah.
Just like she had never been with Caleb. Just like well, her story.
She also said that she had been. She said she's been with women, but she just kept that information from Rob.
Oh, all right. To Rob, this was a new thing. Because even Rob said, "This, you know, Rob, he's not all there." He was like, well, how do you know if you're bisexual if you've never been with another woman? You know, that's something that you would need to experience to know that you enjoy it. Even he thought, like, well, that's weird. You're attracted to women. You're bisexual. You would want to be intimate with them, but you never have. Oh, she has. She's definitely, she's probably been with more women than men. You know, honestly, I see the way that she connects with women, and it's so much different than she connects with Rob.
Yeah.
Like, she just seems, she's in a different place, a different atmosphere, a different mood when she's around Kay than whether she's with Rob. With Rob, she seems repulsed all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she looks like she's just irritated, angry. Like, when she went back to the apartment a few episodes ago, she didn't even unpack. Remember that? She had her luggage. Yeah. She knew she wasn't staying. She was like, I'll give this man.
The case was so little, she didn't even have enough for night clothes. Like,
well, right. She was, that was probably an empty suitcase. It was for show. She needed to have it filmed that she was going back to the apartment in case he tried to say that she wasn't living there. Like, she knows Sophie is way smarter than I think people give her credit for. I think that people look at her and she's got a big, big ass, a pretty face, and they're like, oh, she's a ditz. She's very, very intelligent, and she's covered her ass in 50 different ways. Yeah, she's going to get what she wants. And I commend her for that because, you know, you always want to walk into a room and have everybody think that you're not a threat, right? And I feel like Sophie does a good job of saying, oh, you don't need to worry about me. I'm not a threat. And then you're the one that wins the race. Like, you walk into the You walk to the start line, and everyone's looking like, oh, they don't look like they work out. They don't look like they're gonna win, and then you beat everybody. And I feel like that's exactly what she did. Yeah. Well, Jay Queasy, I don't know if that's all her ass.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't look. I don't. See, I was raised down in Louisiana in the South, right? And there's a lot of flat asses down there, right? So, and I know what a natural ass looks like. It doesn't look natural to me. Right. Like, I don't know what they're feeding these women these days. Like, I don't, for us to believe that an ass would be shaped like that. You know, I'm gonna say she's probably had something sucked from the stomach and put back there. That's my first thought, right? I'm just assuming. I can't, that's alleged. I don't know if that's true. But I'm just assuming, just based on what we've seen. Oh, I want to talk about peeing on the side of the road, right? Because we were watching Thais and Patrick and John go to the ranch of Jose. Jose, his parents, his dad's ranch. I don't want to say parents because it's his stepmom. And I'm from Louisiana, so I've pissed on the side of the road a lot, right? Like, there's a lot of dirt roads. And I don't know if y'all do road trips. You know, we did a lot of road trips to Texas, a lot of times in Mississippi. My grandmother was in Mississippi. Rest areas can be up to 50 miles away, right? So, Cara, another thing that I noticed, peeing on the side of the road is a lot harder for women than men. I never put much thought into it until I was watching. And the first thing I thought when I saw her outfit, it was one of those, like, you got to take the whole thing off, because I've had female friends, we would go to a concert and they wear that and they're like, I gotta go to the bathroom, but I gotta get all the way naked because that whole outfit has to come off. But I was just like, is this something that you've had to endure? Because I know you're like a camping type girl, so do you ever pee on the side of the roads or pee in the woods?
I live in the woods first and foremost. So 9 times out of 10 when you see a car pulled over, that's what it's for.
Well, yeah. But
9 times out of 10, when you see a car pulled over peeing on the side of the road, they are not in a full bodysuit with long, pretty hair, right, and all the things. So kudos to her for being able to do that. At first, I was like, okay, that's definitely like a two-piece outfit. You know, she can just pull the pants down, whatever. It is not. I rewatched it just to see. And you can physically see her arms up and her taking it down. That's so much, especially with your brother-in-law in the car. That's a lot.
Also, there could be other cars, right, coming through. You know, like, that was a lot, you know, because yeah. I was like, dang, she's got to get all the way naked on the side of the road. And then I was like, she peed on her feet, you know, because you have to remember, for a woman, for a man, you can just pee anywhere. Right. Literally. You can literally pee anywhere. It doesn't have that. People can pee in a bottle of a water, empty bottle water. If you're a man, you can literally make it happen anywhere. For a woman, it is not that easy. And it makes me, because I live in Florida, so the idea of like squatting in outdoor nature at night is terrifying, because we have snakes everywhere.
Yeah,
right? Like, especially if you got water near you, there's snakes everywhere. So the idea of doing that just terrified me automatically, because I was like, snakes are like the worst possible thing to creep up underneath you, right? I was like, I
in a high grassy area too, like,
yeah, like grass. That's crazy. But
in her defense, I mean, she did pee on the road behind the car, so
yes, I would.
You, she didn't go off the
don't
road.
Don't go in the woods, don't go in the swamp, you know, you never know what's lurking. But I want to talk about the ranch situation, because Jose wants to, he's offering his ranch free of charge for Alessi's birthday, but he just needs them to do basically a full remodel of the property. So he wanted like $150 worth of rocks. He wanted a piece of the, it looked like a cattle wall, repaired. He wanted the trees trimmed. He wanted the entire ranch painted. And finally, John was like, look, this is your son. This is also your granddaughter's party. How about, hey, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
How about you actually just let them have the party here and stop begging for money? I got like Osuelo's mom vibes from him, because he was just like, well, how else am I going to make my money? And John's like, I don't know how you make your money, but you don't extort it from your son. Yeah. You know, like, there's many, many ways that people can make money. And there's lots of different things that you can ask. Like, I think I did grow up in the South, and, you know, we did help a lot. So, like, if my grandmother needed something done, all the grandkids would go together, and we would go paint. Like, if she needed the house painted, we would do that. If she, remember they added on a bedroom in the back because I had an aunt that lived with my grandmother. They added on a bedroom. The family all got together. They put all hands on deck. Nobody charged anybody. Everybody just did it because we were family. And I think that what really gets to me is Patrick really, really wants that relationship with his dad. And I kind of understand that because when I was growing up, my dad was not physically present. You know, he left my mom for the woman he cheated on my mom with and then had kids with her. And then she cheated on him. Then he left her. Then he married another woman. Then there was more kids. So there's like, it was too many families to really keep up with. Right. So I'm not mad that he wasn't there, but I'm also pissed off, you know, because it's like you didn't have to go and start a family every time you wanted to get a new girlfriend. You know, you could get a new girlfriend and see if it's going to work out first. But I definitely understand because I have siblings, you know, from these situations where they are like Patrick. They chase behind my dad. They want him to be in their weddings and they do whatever he asks because they're missing that bond and love that they didn't get as a child. See, I'm a little colder. Like, I look at it as we can definitely have that relationship, but you would have to come to me.
Yeah.
Because you were physically absent. And that's kind of how John looks at it. He's like, you should be kissing Patrick's ass because he is doing so much for you when you've done nothing for him, right? Like, right. You weren't there. You aren't there for his granddaughter. You're not helping him. You're not doing anything positive for him. You should be so grateful that he's allowing you the opportunity to be in his life because he doesn't have to, you know? And I think a lot of times people look at family as, oh, well, their family, you only get one mom, one dad, one sister, one brother, whatever. And I'm like, I agree with that, but like 75%, you know, like I feel like the relationship has to be a give and take, you know, one person can't always be the one giving. And Patrick, and I think he has infinite pockets for whatever his dad wants, because I think he fears losing him because he didn't have him as a child. And I think if Patrick is like, if I say no, what if he doesn't want to be in my life anymore? And I think that that's extortion. Yeah. Like, it's like love extortion, right? Like, it's not like extorting money, but it is, but it's also like extorting love.
Yeah.
He's like extorting him for love. And I hate that for him.
I do too. You know, John said that Jose was just a piece of shit his whole life. So good on John for calling him out. You know, he was at a loss for words when John was calling him out. Well, awfully nice clothes for somebody that doesn't have money or that needs money. And I was happy to see him and Thais, you know, unite on this because it's just wrong.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of wrong, he eats cake with his bare hands. So, okay, when I was younger, I'm not going to lie, I was a little fat boy. So when there was like something sweet in the kitchen and I knew it wasn't supposed to have it, like if it was a cake or a pie, I would like stick my finger to get some icing. Like, I'm guilty of that. But I didn't take it into, like, adulthood. Like, I don't, like, go in the kitchen and, like, eat anything with my bare hands. And also, he said that he didn't think Thais ate birthday cake, so he was doing her a favor. And I thought that was kind of funny because it doesn't look like Thais eats birthday cake. She looks amazing for a woman who gave birth to a child. But it's also her birthday cake because I think Veronica said on Pillow Talk, she's like, there's not a lot of things that are sacred. But a woman's birthday cake is pretty sacred. Like, don't eat her birthday cake, especially not the first slice. You know, like, that should be...
Well, I mean, in John's defense, he has been a bachelor for a very long time.
Yes.
So, I'm sure he eats a lot of things with his hands without... Well,
yeah. But and probably also drinks out of the milk carton, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He even said that. But if he truly believed she didn't eat cake, he probably... I mean, he didn't have a place to stay. He didn't save a hotel room. So he shows up. He's hungry. There's a whole cake. It's her birthday. They didn't sing happy birthday. They didn't cut the cake. They didn't do any of that as a family. She goes to bed. That cake is there. Midnight strikes. Your birthday's over. Cake is fair game.
So basically, it was her birthday cake as long as it was her birthday.
Absolutely.
Once the clock strikes midnight, what was that? Like in what movie was that? Cinderella?
Yeah.
Once the clock strikes midnight, she was back to being like the maid. Yeah. Like it was over. Okay. Portuguese princess says her birthday had passed, so the cake was fair game. So everybody agrees. It was no longer her birthday. The cake was now community property. Okay. Yeah. So I guess that's how it goes. If you don't eat the cake on your birthday. I mean, On my birthday, I do eat cake.
Yeah.
And I make everybody eat cake with me. It's like a forceful thing. Like, if you're at my party, everybody's gonna eat cake. I don't care how skinny you are, we're eating cake because
You
I
bring
do.
me a cake for my birthday, and I'll eat it. And what I don't eat is fair game.
Right.
But that's my thing.
Whatever you don't want, other people can have. But
But
you
that's
do,
the
you
one
should.
day I can legitimately eat a whole cake and nobody can say shit.
Oh, I
It's
wish
mine.
somebody would. I wish somebody would question me. I wish you would. That's how you get none. That's how you get. If you question me on my birthday while I'm eating an entire Walmart slice cake, I'm gonna kick you out of the house with no cake. Like, don't even ask. That's just how it's gonna be. I don't care. So, oh, we're gonna watch in either this episode or the next one, the bare actual birthday party, which is going to have both sides of the family, which I think is gonna be fun. Because John has a vendetta against, actually John and Carlos, Thais's dad. They're both joining forces, which I kind of like how John is like becoming part of the family now, right? Because I was worried that Thais had written him off forever, but I feel like he's redeeming himself so much on this because he's like joining the family. Everyone's joining forces against this guy, and I'm all for it because he's a douchebag. Like, your children are not a bank, and Thais was so right. You don't treat him as something that can release money to you. Like, you're pushing button. Like, I hate that. So if you want to be in his life, you want to be in Alessi's life, you want to be a grandfather, do that, but don't expect anything out of him. And I can't wait for them to eat him alive and
Yeah,
attack
me
him and let him know on TV that he's a male version of Asuelo's mother, right? Because he literally said it. He's like, I just need the money. It's like,
Yeah.
and that's respectable. It's fine. I respect honesty, but John is not your source of income. You know, our Patrick is not your source of income. Be respectful of your kids. You know, in some countries, I have to say, because a lot of people are saying in the comments, in some cultures, your children are supposed to take care of you and they are supposed to do that. So I don't know, you know, in that Brazilian culture, right? If maybe it's a requirement, because, you know, we've watched a lot of
I
seasons.
don't care, cultural or not. If you're a piece of shit father, if you're an absent father, if you're all of that, you have no right to expect anything of your adult children, in my opinion.
I agree with you 130,000%, right? Because in these a lot some countries, they're like, no matter what type of parent they are, you're still supposed to take care of them. Because let's be real, Asuelo's mom was a piece of garbage. The first thing she would ask for was money. She didn't want to see the babies. Because I was like, why won't you hold the grandkids? Why aren't you actually being a grandma? Yeah, he's gonna help you. You know, but you should actually want to see the grandkids. It shouldn't just be about money. Oh, speaking of, I want to talk about Ashley's $100,000 student loans. Okay, so I have a question. To become a witch, do you have to go to college? Because she made it very clear that she went to college so she could be an entrepreneur. How many college degrees, and are there college degrees that you need to become a witch?
No,
Because I'm kind of confused.
he literally said, ask her how many of those degrees does she work with on a daily basis? None.
And were you surprised that this woman has no job other than her witch business? Like, I was kind of surprised because when she was explaining the business to us earlier in the season, it sounded like a hobby to me. Okay, I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be rude or belittle her business or anything, but it sounded like a hobby because I can't imagine that people are purchasing her penis candles and they're paying top dollar for her to read cards. Because she didn't even know it was gonna rain in Florida in hurricane season. So it's like, I can't imagine, because she was like, well, what happens when I make like $1 million? Where are you gonna get $1 million as a witch? Like, I am so lost. And the fact that she withheld the fact that she was 100K in debt from her husband, but she's pissed off at her husband because she feels like he keeps secrets. Like the hypocrite size shoe that she's wearing on her foot right now, because it's like, well, you didn't tell him what you got going on, so he didn't feel like he needed to tell you what he had going on. Two wrongs are making a right in this point, you know. Like, I definitely feel like Manuel has an agenda, you know. I think that he's got something going on that we don't know about. I don't know what it is. It could be that he's stacking up money to leave her. That's like, I've got like 75, 80% on that. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what he's got going on. Or maybe he's just really weird about personal business. Like, I have like friends that for instance, I had a friend, we used to hang out a lot when I lived in Ohio, literally all the time. She had been to parties of mine and everything. Then we were talking one day, she was drunk, and she mentioned to me, she's like, oh yeah, my ex-husband. I was like, you've been married?
Yeah.
You know, like there are people who are super, super private about personal stuff. And I was like, maybe he's just weird about his personal life and he doesn't want to tell her, even though it is your wife. I mean, she should know everything about you, right? Like if something came up and she needed to testify in court, it would be very helpful if she knew everything about you so she could help you, right? Like, I don't know.
How she said, when the attorney was talking and explaining, you know, personal assets and half of your debt and da-da-da-da-da, she goes, oh, wait, so he inherited half of my debt? Like, she was ready to bounce right there on the spot if that was the case. And he's like, no, that's personal property. So
yeah.
It's all in favor of what she wants to do. She doesn't give two shits what he wants to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he's shady as can be. Shady, shady, shady. I think he's got a whole family here, blah, blah, blah. But she's no better.
No, she's not. And I think that for her to have so much debt and student loans, it really struck me as crazy because entrepreneurs don't necessarily need a degree because you're going to hire yourself. Yeah. So I was like, what was the point of getting, because she's like, I have all these different degrees. What was the point of that?
Right.
If you weren't going to actually work in those fields, because you don't need, I've never been to a psychic and she had a degree on the wall behind her head that said certified bachelor in witchery. Yeah. Like I've never seen it. It's unnecessary. People are either born with the gift or not. So I was like, why would you go run up?
I have a degree in criminology.
That makes so much sense because you're able to find so much on so many people. I didn't know that. See, but that makes so much sense.
But it has nothing to do with the three jobs I work. I
really?
I'm not even in that field. But I also have zero student loans. So. Oh.
Well, see, I respect you 100%. You can go to school for anything you want. Mm-hmm. I just think it's crazy to get a... Wait, but did you ever work in criminology at all at any job? Really? So what happened? Did you get the degree and then you decided you didn't want to go on that path, or did it just work out? You got a job and you liked that job.
I got the degree. I bought a coffee shop. I did the coffee shop for a while. Then my mom got sick. I left. I took care of my mom. My mom passed away. I got my insurance license and became an insurance agent.
But you had every intention of working in criminology when you were getting the degree. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, you had every intention of doing that. She has degrees in weird stuff that she had no intentions of working in, obviously.
Yeah.
Because she's always said she wanted to be a witch. That's who she says she is. That's what she says she does. And she has her own business, supposedly, doing that. And it's crazy to me because I really want to find the good in Ashley. And I'm really trying, right? Like, I'm trying to be a good person. I was raised in the church, and I want to find something good about her, something positive to say, and I just can't.
Yeah.
I've really tried, and she just, I don't get anything that she's doing. And, you know, I don't understand why she's in a relationship with Manuel. I don't know why I know why he's in a relationship with her, but I don't understand why she can't see what's going on in front of her, especially for a clairvoyant psychic.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what's scary to me because, you know, everybody has intuition, but she says that hers is a step up. She's a clairvoyant. She can actually see into the future. She can look at cards and tell you what the hell is going on, but she can't tell you where the $500 or $300 that Manuel is sitting here. Like, it's just, it's baffling for me, right? Like, I want to believe that she's a witch, but I also want to believe that she's just a whack job.
Yeah.
Right? She's nothing that she's doing makes any sense. Hey, Riley.
Hi, Riley. So
Angela and Michael. So we got another scene with them, and he finally showed up to explain to her, well, try to explain to her what was going on. She would not let him speak, which is pretty typical, right? Like every time he tried to open his mouth, she wouldn't allow it. And she had a FaceTime call with Skyla, and it was interesting because Skyla, who has been anti-Michael since the beginning, she's always said, she's like, this man is scamming you. And even now, she was like, you do realize that he's scamming you. So my question now, how did Michael end up here? Because it's been very clear. And then next week, we're going to see that he's been, I don't know what the situation is specifically, but he was either depositing money or getting money. It said 30K, but I'm assuming the 30K was in his currency. I can't imagine it was $30,000, but let's say it was like 300 or 3,000, something in his currency. And he was, I don't know if he was giving money to people or sending money to people. We didn't get that far in the preview, but all of this information brought to light, right? He's moving appointments. He was cheating on her in the past. Now she's finding that money is being moved back and forth. How did he end up here? That's what I'm really confused about.
Because she never gave him a chance to explain. He said it could be up to 2 weeks, and then she cuts him off, shuts him down, all that shit. He probably had another appointment the next day. He probably got his visa approved. She's such a freaking loudmouth, has to control everything, never gave him a chance, and I mean, thought they were going to live happily ever after. This is all for TV. Then he got here, just decided, I'm out. My scam work is done.
We knew that. And if you watch his Instagram, like I think we talked about this, he's with a group of people that appear to be from Nigeria. So it kind of looks like that there was a plan to get him here. He already had a safe place to go. He had people that were ready to take him in. And you know, Nigerians, one thing about being a Nigerian, they stick together and they do anything that they have to do to help each other. That's one thing that I respect about them, because in America, we don't help each other.
Right.
You know, we'll watch people struggle. There'll be a homeless person on the corner, you'll drive past. Nigerians will go either way. If they see you struggling and you're from their culture, they will take you in.
Yeah.
And I feel like he definitely had a group of people who were ready to rescue him, right? And I feel like they just were like, all you need to do is get here and we will take you and we will save you. And I feel like that's exactly what he did.
That poor guy fought for 7 years.
7 years.
I don't get it. Lasted 10 seconds once he got here. He should have had a free ride. He should get all the government benefits and all the food stamps and the free housing and all the shit for everything he's put up with.
You remember the police report that was filed and the allegations, he said that he couldn't leave. Do you remember? He said the passport was gone. Yeah. He was locked in the house. I think that you're 100% right, Carl. He would have been gone 2 days after he got here, but he couldn't physically leave.
Yep.
Because he made it very clear that if he was able to leave, he would have, but there was no possible way. He said that he was literally locked in.
Yeah.
And his passport was gone, his identification. He didn't have his phone. Like, he didn't have any way to communicate with anyone. That's very scary, right? It's a very scary situation.
So you have to realize he's getting paid from the show for, you know, all 147 seasons that he's been on. That's a lot of money in Nigeria.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money in Nigeria. So he's filthy rich. So he didn't have a problem paying for the things that needed to be paid for in Nigeria and or sending money, whether it was to women or men or family members or whatever. He probably sent it to someone, family or someone that, you know, that we're seeing these transactions being sent to, setting himself up because he knew his green card was going to be approved or his visa would be approved. So he was probably stacking the cards for himself because he's not stupid.
I think that he knew he was approved way before Angela did.
Absolutely.
And the fact that she wouldn't take her ass to the interview is kind of her fault.
Yep.
He asked her to go. She didn't want to go with him. And then I think that he had way more information. And we can tell he was only giving her enough information that he needed to give her at the time to do what he wanted to do. And it's like, I had an old co-host. She was when my podcast just turned 4 years old, guys. I forgot to post about it a couple weeks ago. And yeah, 4 years I've been doing this. And my old co-host, she was from The Bachelor, the show The Bachelor. She used to say, there is no scam if everyone, what was the saying? She was Jamaican. And there was this really cool saying. She was like, it's no scam if everyone wins. And I kind of feel like I'm butchering that. Marshawna, I'm sorry. I'm going to text you and figure out exactly how to say it. But I feel like that saying applies to this because No, it's not a scam because I kind of feel like he's winning in this situation and it was a game. Both people were playing a game, right? And it's like you expect one person to win the game, one person to lose the game. And I look at it as Michael won his game and Angela won her game because let's be real. Angela was on this show for almost 8 years. You know, and nobody is, thank you guys, thank you so much. Nobody is really able to pull off 8 years on 90 Day Fiancé. Like, I mean, who's come close? Like, maybe Veronica and Tim. Yeah. You know, Angela has set the bar. Oh, also Chantel, Darcy, Stacey. Like, you have to be really up there. I feel like everybody won in this situation. And I know Angela feels hurt that she got scammed, but the scam was in plain sight. Okay? Yeah. Like, it was in plain sight. If it would be impossible to not know you're being scammed based on the information, even the information that we're being given, because Angela says that there's way more info we never even got. The show didn't air everything. But just with the info that I was given, there's no way I would have brought anybody over here based on what was going on.
Yeah.
So you brought them over here. That's kind of on you. You know, like, that's kind of on you. There's no way. Like, you, and then you want to say he scammed you. Yeah. Sky told you, everybody told you, the whole world told you, you told yourself, everyone saw it coming, and now she's dealing with that, and who knows what's going to happen now, because he's here to stay. I see from his TikToks, he's happy, he's here to stay.
She's a nasty, vile person. He's very calm, he's very mellow, he's always, I mean, he was even happy dealing with her. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you be? She's thrown cake in his face. She's torn his car apart. She's thrown whatever drink in his face. Like, she's a nasty, vile human. And that's just the shit that was caught on camera. That has nothing to do with everything we didn't see, all the abuse we didn't see.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. I hope he's living his best life. I hope he gets all the perks, all the benefits, all that.
Welcome. Welcome to the U.S., Michael. You made it here. You earned it. Yep. This is, I'm happy for him. And he looks really happy. Oh, so Jasmine has revealed some information about Gino. And I want to get your opinion on this, because she says that, well, okay, Gino says that he is not intimate with Jasmine because they fight all the time. Jasmine believes they're not intimate because he's addicted to porn. Do you believe any of that? Because these are people who pee on each other. And, like, what do you really think is going on? Because she decided to bring this up in the middle of a family reunion dinner in front of the entire family. She decided that it was important to air all their dirty laundry out in front of everybody. She wouldn't give the porn part, but everything else. So, like, how do you feel? Do you think Gino's addicted to porn?
I think she's full of shit all the way around. Because, and the reason that I have to say this is because she said it firsthand. I told Gino I wanted a baby, so now I'm avoiding having sex with him. Okay? So that's the premise that we've been on for the last, 712 episodes. That she's avoiding having sex with him because she doesn't want to get pregnant. But now, in this episode, he won't have sex with me because he's addicted to porn. How can you be in a long-distance relationship with somebody and then get them face-to-face and not want to have sex with them, she says. I'm sure he's asking you the same damn question.
Well, I remember when they were on the one episode, he was trying to initiate it. And she was avoiding him, like you said, because she's like, well, I don't want to get pregnant. I'm not trying to have a baby. I think, like, what you're saying, I think it's all BS.
Absolutely.
The storyline in itself is all BS. I don't believe that there's any issues. A lot of people, who just said that? A lot of people are saying that they're not together. You know, this has been going around. And somebody brought up to me recently, they were like, oh, well, they were on the Reality Gays podcast, and that was in, like, April. And they were together at this podcast. It was in Michigan. So if, because the rumor was they broke up in December, January, but they would have to be still. Okay, so I have this question for you, because some people say they would have to still be together to be the podcast. But I remember there was a group that I used to love. They were called the Danity Kane, and it was four women, I believe, at one point, and they hated each other. And they physically fought each other at times. But when it was time to go on stage, they went on stage together. They performed together, and then they all left in separate cars. So do you think it's possible that they were broken up but did that gig together just to keep...
You know my stance on this. They've been broken up for a long time.
You think since December, when we first heard about it?
I do not think it's with this fitness instructor, actor guy that is all over everything. I think that's a decoy to keep her from revealing who she's actually with. From everyone putting two and two together. I said, as soon as she got here, as soon as she got her green card, she's bouncing and she's out. And now they have to keep doing this shit to pretend like they're together.
Yeah, because The Last Resort hasn't aired. So they have to keep some sort of inclination that they're still trying to work it out, at least until The Last Resort airs, because then if they don't, they'll be in a breach of contract and their NDA. Yep. So she did go on a live the other day and she's like, oh yeah, Gino cheated on me with that porn star or whatever.
Every time this woman has ever done a live, it is never in Gino's house. It is, you don't ever see Gino in the background or chatting, nothing. He's never there.
We saw the bed and we saw what the house looked like. So you're right. Every time she goes live, it is not the townhouse that Gino lives in. It's very obvious that she's in a different place. So I'm just trying to understand, because somebody said that she's with a man who actually lives in Michigan. That's the latest news. Guys, this is all alleged. I can't prove any of it. This is just what people have been saying. They said that this guy actually lives in Michigan, about 30-something minutes away from where she lived with Gino. So she would have met this guy locally. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming at the gym. I feel like Jasmine has a type, right?
Yeah.
I feel like she would meet a guy at the gym. She's very into fitness. She's
her type, a vegan. Is anyone with a fat wallet. It doesn't matter what they look like.
That's funny because a lot of these gym guys, they don't have fat wallets. They have fat muscles, but they don't have fat wallets. So I'm beginning to wonder who this guy is and what he does. Because, you know, in Michigan, that's like where all the factories are. Like, yeah. They make cars in Michigan. There's a lot of factory jobs. So, you know, the guys who've been working in these factories their whole life, they got a huge pension.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of money that they don't know what to do with. And Jasmine is, that's definitely up the alley of Jasmine and where she wants to lead her life. A man who has more money than he knows what to do with, right? Like, that's definitely her goal. And I think that Gino might have just been a pun to get her over here, because we all know that Gino had money, but not a lot of money. You know, not to the point where he was going to spend it all on her. I feel like Gino has not come out of this broke. So if they aren't together, he didn't spend every dime on her. And we could tell he was super cheap. So the $1,200, he wouldn't even pay for that for her to be in the pageant. And even his family agreed. They were like, well, you know, you should cater to her because you brought her here and she can't work. You know, and he said, oh, I don't like to drive her around. I'm busy. Turns out he quit his job so he could go home and play fantasy football is what his family believes. It's not so he could take care of Jasmine.
Would you want to drive her around every time they're in the freaking car? She's screaming, crying, accusing him of something, and she wants to go home every time.
I mean, no,
I'd get her an Uber every damn time. Go where you want.
Yeah, not specifically. I wouldn't want to. I don't like to drive Miss Daisy though. Like, I'm not like a I'm not an Uber driver. You know, like, I don't like driving people around. I don't like driving specifically at all. Like, if I could fly, I would just fly places. Right. I and birds. Like, but I totally understand. You know, her needing someone to take her around. I can't imagine what it's like, because in Panama, she had her own license, her own car. She had independence. So I can't imagine what it's like to go from...
Did we ever see her drive in Panama?
No, we didn't. That's funny, because no, we've never seen her drive. She claimed that she drove and had her license and she was independent, but we never physically saw her drive a car. No. She was always riding in a car or a taxi when she was with Gino. But never driving. She's never driven him anywhere, which was interesting because she said that she had to sell her car to move here. Where was the car?
Yeah.
I'm very confused. And Portuguese Princess, that's a good question. Can't you transfer your license over? Yeah, because I know in the U.S., if you move from one state to another, you just go to the DMV, you give them your old one. And
I think different countries are different.
Oh, so.
Like, you go to the DMV right now with an out-of-country license. And you've got to show, I mean, you go from an out-of-state license, you have to show everything. You know, your mom's birth certificate, your grandma's birth certificate.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
You've got to show all this shit. You can't just come from another country and be like, yeah, hey, I could drive over there, even though it was on the wrong side of the road and the right side of the vehicle.
Well, I mean, she didn't say that she couldn't get her license. Because that's another thing. I'm pretty sure just because she doesn't have a green card doesn't mean that she can't drive a car.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if she was to go to the DMV and take the test and pass, they would give her a license. Because a green card is different from a license. You can operate a vehicle without being a citizen. I know plenty of people who visit another country and they rent a car and they're allowed to drive it. It's very possible. So I think that she hasn't made a lot of...
To obtain a license in the United States, you have to have a permanent residence. And while you're with
here in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
But yeah, she could have easily put down Gino's address and got her license. Right?
Right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Because she's waiting for her green card to make her a permanent residence.
Oh, so while she's in limbo, technically she's not a permanent resident. I see. Okay. I thought you meant she just has to have an address on U.S. soil. So technically she's living here, but she's not a permanent resident. Yeah. Oh, I understand now.
So I don't know. I could be very wrong, but I don't know. I think this is all just a, this is all such a TLC thing. And that's that. I don't think there's any kind of relationship. I mean, I think she's moved on. I don't think that her kids are here. I don't think her kids will ever be here. I also don't think that she just has those kids. I think she has other kids. And there's so many speculations. I can't wait for The Last Resort to air and all the shit to come out after she's done with TLC.
Yeah, I feel like if this is really the end of their relationship, Gina was probably going to just air it all out. Yeah. Right? If they're broken up and they're filming this, they're not getting back together. You know, it's probably going to be like a Molly and Kelly. They just aired it all right. out, right? They just told everybody, like, because there's no coming back from right. it, right? So we're finally going to get the full story. Gino's really going to say what he can't stand about her, and she's really going to say what she can't stand about him, and we're finally going to get some truth. Because like you said, every time they go live, every time they post something, it's bullshit. Yeah. They're making it up. They're trying to lead us on to believe something that's not true.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I can't wait for them to be done.
All right, guys. So, I watched Love in Paradise. I did already. But we're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to talk about MILF Manor, which I'm excited to talk about because there were some eliminations, guys, which I thought was so needed. So we're going to come back and talk about MILF Manor tomorrow and Love in Paradise, which was actually a good episode tonight. Alex and Adriana weren't there, which was nice. But they will be back the next week because he's trying to get her to go out and meet a girl to have a threesome with after she said she didn't want to have one. So, yeah, this guy. Grade A, right? So, yeah, we're going to come back and talk about that. Unfortunately, Dee Dee will not be here for the next 2 weeks. But when she gets back, I can't wait for her to tell you guys what's going on with her. I'm so proud of her. Thank you for joining us today. Happy Monday. Thank you to Cara for joining me. Make sure you're following Cara, too. I'm going to tag her in this video. It's very important. And yeah, thank you guys so much for sticking with me. My podcast made its fourth birthday on May 19th, which is also, I've been in Florida a year on May 19th. So it's two birthdays. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me. I can't believe I'm still doing this, right? I'm still doing this. I stuck with it, right? I'm really happy.
You're pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I found my dream team. It's really weird when I don't have you and Dee Dee here. So I'm sad that she's not here, but I'm very proud of her for you know, what she's got going on. But again, thank you guys so much for sticking with me. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. And we're going to talk to all of you guys really soon. See you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.